Once again, we've come in our thousands to protest, to say enough is enough. They've attempted to erase Palestine from the world, but the world has become Palestine. Like I said, I'm Palestinian by birth, but Palestine is not just my motherland or my homeland. Palestine is all I am. It is my yesterday and my today and my tomorrow. Today, I come with anger. I am angry. And this is a common energy amongst all of us today. This anger may be a secondary feeling to the heartbreak and pain we are feeling as we witness the decimated bodies that have been killed by the Israeli occupation as the world turns a blind eye. Shame! Let me start the protest with this. We will not engage in a conversation that starts with, do you condemn the 7th of October? Do not engage with us if your moral compass is the Zionist movement. Because I will be asking you, do you condemn the Israeli occupation? Do you condemn the 11,000 Palestinians that have been killed in cold blood? Do you condemn the bombing of educational institutions, churches, and hospitals? Do you condemn 49 babies being cut off oxygen and electricity, their basic human right to live and to breathe? Do you condemn the illegal establishment of Israel? This is what we will be asking you. And I will say this. The white man has always said that peace is the answer. But I stand here and I tell you that peace and occupation do not coexist.
Our next wonderful speaker, her name is Rand. She's a Palestinian activist. She's a convener of the Anti-Autonomous Collective Against Racism here in Sydney as well. Thank you, Rand.
My name is Rand. I come from a town called Kfar Kanna. It is my home, it is my place of birth, and I hope it will be the place that I will be buried one day. Kfar Kanna is a Palestinian town in the mountainous north of Palestine, in so-called Israel. It lies between the Tiberias Lake and the Mediterranean Sea. To the north is Safed, to the south, Jenin. My family were Falahi. They were agricultural farmers. They were villagers who saw the land not as property to be owned or sold, but as providers of life, in fact, life itself. Olives, almonds, walnuts, wheat, and figs. My family grew the fruits, fed the village, and played among the trees for generations. We were a humble village. Colonial violence manifests in wildly different ways across the different Palestinian experiences. However, there is one experience, one moment in history which ties us all together, the Nakba. During the 1948 Nakba, neighboring villages began to hear words of entire villages being massacred, rounded up, and forced to exile. After hearing this, my great-grandfather, Allah yirhamo, as a young adult, picked up a rifle that he did not know how to use. He went to the border and fought in the Fedayeen. What ensued after was a depopulation of 520 towns and villages, the expulsion of 80% of Palestinians, and the creation of the Israeli state. The Palestinian towns that remained in what then became so-called Israel experienced an 18-year-long military occupation and experiences a system of apartheid until this day. Kfar Kanna is one such town. a town where colonial violence manifested through militarized conquest, through forced urbanization, and a severed connection from agricultural roots. All of this plunged my family into poverty. No longer could Kanawis, the people of Kufur Kanna, live self-sustained and feed their families and villages. No, Israel, like all colonial projects, stole our fertile lands, they diverted our resources, and turned us into cheap labor. I speak about our experience not to take attention away from Gaza or the West Bank, but to point out that liberation of Palestine is not simply becoming an Israeli citizen. True liberation means dismantling the racist Zionist ideology. Now imagine with me, I want us all to go back to October 6th. Before Hamas's operation, before the 6 weeks of carpet bombing and genocide that ensued, let's go back to October 6th just for a minute. What did it look like? Gaza was under a suffocating and unlivable siege. The West Bank was under military occupation, where apartheid walls and checkpoints controlled the freedom of movement. Settler attacks against Palestinian civilians on Palestinian territory faced total impunity. Jerusalemites faced home evictions and forced demolitions. The 48 territories lived under a system of racial discrimination, their identities threatened. Palestinians in exile still awaiting their right of return. This was October 6th. This was the status quo. It was a system of slow genocide, of land theft, of collective punishment and ethnic cleansing. Today, we are here today to say that there can be no return to the status quo. Forget it, it's over. There's no going back. Not for the people of Gaza and not for the people of Kufur Kanna. Today, we march forward with one fraction of the bravery of the Palestinian boys who throw stones at tanks. We march forward towards liberation, a just cause. Palestine will be free. But that liberation will not come easy, and we all need to do our part. And we have a part to play here. The BDS movement is more crucial now than ever before. It worked in South Africa, and it will work in Palestine. We need targeted boycotts of companies like HP and Puma. We need academic boycotts of complicit Israeli universities, which are involved in developing weapons and military doctrines. We need protests and disruptions of the Zim shipping line, a major supporter of Israel and the Israeli military. We need you all to pass motions at your unions in solidarity with Palestine. We need to be talking about Israeli greenwashing and Israeli pinkwashing. Colonial states and corporations, they don't understand the language of human rights. They don't understand the language. They only understand the language of political power and money. I want to echo what Randa Abdel Fattah said here last week, which is that we need to make Israel a bad investment. We need to make Israel a bad investment for all of these companies, for all of these institutions. We do this through building a grassroots movement that tells these companies that we will not stop boycotts until they comply with international law and withdraw their support for Israeli settler colonialism. David Shoebridge, who is the senator of the Greens Party and the long-standing in solidarity of Palestine. Welcome, David.
Well, thanks very much. I want to start by acknowledging and thanking Aunty Shoal for that welcome to country. We know this land always was and will be First Nations land. We know this is Gadigal land.
And we know the connection between the struggles of First Nations peoples here and the Palestine struggle. Let's say it together. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land here today. And I know this is now 6 weeks of horror that we've been witnessing. 6 weeks of horror and 6 weeks of wondering, where is our federal government? Where is our parliament? How can they not speak to this horror and ask for it to end? And I know that this is, for many of you, the sixth time you've come out here. For many more, we've been out here for decades struggling for Palestine. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, we came out today and where did our government go? But let me tell you this. Last week I was down in the federal parliament in the Senate. And we went down, my Greens colleagues and I and those few other good people in the federal parliament, and we went down there with you behind us in your tens of thousands. And we went down there with millions of Australians and millions of people across the planet who came together just like this to demand decency and humanity from our politicians. And you were with us in Parliament last week. You were with us. And I want to credit those two who came to Canberra. And on the Monday morning, the first big political moment was thousands and thousands of pro-Palestinian campaigners out the front, making themselves heard and making themselves seen from federal politicians who want to turn their eyes away from it. And then when we went into Parliament, and we asked in question time and demanded of Foreign Minister Penny Wong and Prime Minister Albanese, and we looked them in the eye, and my colleague Maureen Faruqi, my leader Adam Band and others, when they looked them in the eye and said, why won't you demand a ceasefire? And they lied and dissembled. With you behind us, we walked out of that place. And we walked out of that place. And you give legitimacy to the actions we take in Parliament. You give strength to the actions you take in Parliament, because they know when we stand there, we stand with every one of you behind us. So thank you for that. And I do want to acknowledge the unions that have come out today, the Teachers Federation, the ASU, the USU. And of course, always the mighty Maritime Union of Australia, who blockades illegal weapon supplies, and will always do that. And it's by building this movement of unions and fellow workers in your homes, in your workplaces, at your unis, at your schools, and credit to those kids for coming out too. It's that that is going to end. It's that that's going to end the occupation. It's that millions and millions of good people around the world. But our government should acknowledge its ongoing complicity, not just failing to call for a ceasefire, as shameful as that is. And how can those we elect go down into that federal parliament and somehow see a difference based on a border or a religion or a nationality? How could they see that difference? And how could they say they stand with Israel but refuse to see the common humanity between an Israeli child killed and a Palestinian child killed? We know the common humanity. We know the common humanity, and we will always demand and fall on the side of humanity. But our government doesn't. And worse than that, our government continues to export weapons to Israel. And then they don't tell the truth about it, and they hide it. Every time an F-35 flies over Gaza and opens up its bomb doors, the machinery to open up those bomb doors and release the death on Palestinians was built in Australia. Shame! And our government refuses to say anything about it and continues to export. And worse still, the hypocrisy of Labor. When I pointed that out to Penny Wong, the foreign minister, and she said to me, and I cannot believe it, that how dare I politicise this? How dare anybody politicise this? Could there be a more political act than supporting human rights abuses and war crimes? Could there be a worse political act from our government? Shame on them. Shame on them. So I tell you this to you. We will keep coming back. We will keep coming back in our thousands, in our millions. And and we won't fall for the lies about a humanitarian pause or a seven-day ceasefire while the occupation and the violence continues. We will keep coming back. And we will do it in our councils, in our workplaces, until we throw this mob out of government. And we have, regardless of their political party, I don't care where they come from, we have politicians who acknowledge a war crime is a war crime and speak out against it. We have politicians and political leaders who say that the bombing of a hospital is a war crime, the collective punishment is a war crime, and they say it loudly and proudly in our name, in the UN, in our parliament, because that's the goal, to change our country, to change the world, to end, to have a ceasefire, but to end the occupation, to have a peace with justice, and finally, have a free Palestine. Thank you very much.